Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
I am sorry. I'm just reading some of the news today, and some of it I just, it cannot, absolutely cannot be true. Disney is debuting its first boy princess with chest hair to teach a powerful lesson about gender bias. Okay, why not? Why not? I mean, I don't know if you saw the news yesterday in San Francisco. Kate Steinle's murderer has been declared not guilty. Multiple felon and five-time deportee killed the 32-year-old woman over 2 years ago, but her family will never see justice. The California state government has made a complete mockery of the justice system on multiple levels. Answer me this, San Francisco. Help me out. I can't seem to wrap my brain around this. How can a man fire a gun into a group of people, kill a woman, then throw the murder weapon into the ocean, get caught fleeing the scene, and get off scot-free? Help me, help me out. I don't understand your definition of law and order. What was the prosecution doing during this case? The killer admitted that he fired the gun. The only case the defense had was this was an accident. This was an accident? Oh, I picked up the gun and it just went off. The old Comey Hillary Clinton defense of I don't think they meant it. You know, the no ill intent thing, which I thought, Stu, didn't we just discover yesterday from
Al Franken?
Al
it was.
Franken.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what your intent is. I'm sorry. A, I kind of need consistency. And B, I don't think this is good enough. At the very least, he should have gotten involuntary manslaughter. That's what happens when you make a mistake with a gun. You get involuntary manslaughter. Did the prosecution not care? Had they not read that part of the law? Are they completely incompetent? If you live in these sanctuary cities in California, how can you ever feel safe? You're already mostly forbidden from protecting yourself. The gun laws are among the strictest in the country. But not only that, the government of California has now shown that they cannot protect you either. ICE has declared they will deport this murderer yet again. But we all know it won't matter. He'll come right back. And the state of California not only won't do a thing about it, but they will welcome him with open arms. Now, the killer didn't get off completely unscathed. They did actually nail him for something. It wasn't murder. It wasn't manslaughter. It wasn't illegally being in the country. The new crime on his rap sheet is illegal possession of a firearm. Wait. What? If that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. For the leftist, blaming the criminal always runs second to the gun. The killer is innocent. It is the gun that is guilty. One final question for the justice system in California. If the shooter would have been a white person, and the victim, an immigrant, an legal or illegal, would the verdict be the same?
It's Friday, December 1st. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
I saw this yesterday afternoon, and I just could not believe it.
To summarize, you don't like immigrants, basically?
Is that the... Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay. Okay, that's what it seemed like there as you went through that. It's an amazing case. You know, it's funny because we went through, she was sort of like the example of what really can go wrong with illegal immigration. And, you know, there wasn't much discussion over whether he was guilty or not. I don't think anyone considered, oh, yeah, they'll buy the whole, he just picked it up and it just kind of went off at this poor girl.
So wait, he just picked it up. So how could he be charged with illegal possession of a gun? He just picked it up.
Right, right.
That was the case. It was just sitting there. I picked it up. It went off.
It's ridiculous. But, I mean, even if you say, You know what? That's what happened. He's sitting there, picked up the gun, went off the wrong direction.
Then it's involuntary manslaughter.
You're right, right? I agree. I at least agree with that. But let's just assume that for a second. If you had tough border laws and he wasn't in the country, he can't mistakenly shoot our citizens.
Correct.
The point here is that there is a crime that happened before he shot anyone, and we don't care about it.
Well, but Stu, if it wasn't him, it would have been somebody else.
Would it have?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think so, but it would have been somebody else because there are just too many guns, you know, on the docks.
Really?
Yes.
I've been to...
How many times have you walked the docks in San Francisco and you see the SEALs and then you're like, oh my gosh, they're surrounded by guns just laying all around them.
Zero times. And look, you're not going to be able to stop every single murder. You're not going to be able to stop every single illegal immigrant from coming in. Even if we all had the conservative dream of every policy we want to stop illegal immigration, you're not going to stop everyone. There will still be murders that happen from illegal immigrants. And of course, there will still be murders that happen from American citizens, but we shouldn't choose to import them. There's a nice little path there, which is to do as much as we can to stop as many as we can from coming here illegally.
Stu,
yes.
They're going to send him home.
Send back them?
They're going to send back them. He's going home. ICE is going to deport him. So we don't have to worry about him.
Well, I mean, he's hopefully going to prison first.
Yeah, for an illegal possession of a firearm.
And that still could be a few years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it.
Yeah.
Which is, in this case...
It's amazing.
For what he did.
How is it... this is a serious question. How is it not involuntary manslaughter? If I am driving down the road, I don't even have a gun. If I'm driving down the road and I, you know, I'm looking down at my cell phone... And I kill somebody, I get involuntary manslaughter. Well, it wasn't my intent. I didn't mean to kill anybody. I just happened to look down at my phone. Oh, it's these damn phones. We should ban phones in cars. Yeah, but you also shouldn't have a phone in your car and look at it while you're driving. And you know what? It doesn't matter. You killed someone. And so that's why there's involuntary manslaughter. I don't understand it. Let me go back. A Disney animated series has introduced its first male princess, complete with chest hair, to share an important bias about gender bias. A recent episode on the Disney XD channel animated series Star vs. the Forces of Evil, the character Marco transforms himself into Princess Marco for his visit to St. Olga's Reform School for Wayward Princesses, where he's given an honorary degree. However, before Marco is able to confess that he is pretending to be a princess, the school's evil headmistress, Miss Haynes, outs him as a boy by exposing his single curly chest hair that is hidden underneath his purple gown. Turdina isn't a princess. She's a boy, Miss Haynes tells the audience, but the headmistress's revelation doesn't affect the princess's favorable views of Turdina. I think it's important to point out that the root of Turdina is turd. That doesn't prove anything. Princesses can be hairy, one princess in the crowd responds, while the hairy princess adds, yeah, we believe in you, Turdina. Overwhelmed with guilt, Marco admits that he has been lying to them and removes his gown to show that he is indeed a boy. Miss Haynes argues that Marco's lie is proof that she needs to be running St. Olga's. However, the other princesses refuse to see gender as a factor in deciding who can be a princess. He can be a princess if he wants to, someone else shouts, and another princess declares, Turdina is a state of mind. The Progressive Show is the first animated series created by a woman, Darren Nefsky. And earlier this year, the program featured Disney's first same-sex kiss. On the Disney Channel, in an episode which aired in March, a gay couple can be seen sharing a kiss for the first time in the history of the Walt Disney Company. Walt would be so proud. He would. I know Walt liked to get into all of the sexual issues.
That's what he wanted to do, yeah.
He was like, when he was doing the mouse and Mickey Mouse, he was like, you know, let's really teach kids about sex.
That was basically, yeah. I mean, it was a very early effort at porn. That was what the Disney company was built on.
It was.
As much sexual escapades as you can, as you can portray. Yes.
And let's do everything we can to turn the culture inside out and upside down. That was his biggest.
Do you ever see the unrated version of Steamboat Willie?
No, I have not.
Oh, man. They just go to town. It's incredible.
You should hear the, you know, I have a copy. You know, I have the actual Lincoln head from, you know, the evening with Mr. Lincoln.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I actually have that head that Walt, made. But what I haven't told you is I have the actual script for the original Lincoln conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
Pretty hardcore, I guess.
Oh, my gosh, it's hardcore. First of all, he takes a picture of his schlong and he sends it to people in the audience.
Abe was the first
sexter. He was. Look, this is what every woman wants.
Yep.
Even Matt Lauer someday, who you don't know yet, kids, will want to do this on NBC.
Yeah, he was known as Honest Abe because he didn't even try to get good lighting on it. He just went with the first picture he took and sent it.
It was a tin type. Yeah, he sent the tin type. But it's...
poor guy got assassinated. We're still screwing him over. We should point out Bill O'Reilly's going to be on today, and he was one of the biggest...
Kate's Law. Kate's Law. I mean, he's going to be on fire today.
Oh, yeah.
On fire today. And I also am kind of interested in hearing what he has to say about the interview with Matt Lauer that he did.
That should be quite interesting.
Could be interesting. Mm-hmm. That's coming up. Also, Carly Fiorina in hour number 3. Great show today. You don't want to miss. And someone in about 10 minutes, I just got a note. I'm going to speak to quite possibly a man who I think is a hero. We're going to have him on in a minute. I'll tell you more about it coming up in just a second.
Glenn Beck.
All right, let's bring you up to speed on the tax bill that is expected to be voted on in the Senate today. So far, it is 49 yay votes with the Republicans, and they expect one more to be flipped by this afternoon.
Yeah, that's the reporting we have right now, that it looks like they, as of this moment, have 49 yeses. You saw McCain come on board yesterday, which is a big one if you want to get this thing passed. Again, obviously, I disagree with John McCain constantly, but he does hold some sway within the Senate for sure. So getting him on board
was hard
is a big
to say,
deal,
wasn't it? Yeah. I could see that in your eyes. It was weird. It really hurt you to say that.
That's true. But it's true. I mean, it's the way this group of people works, right? If there's a guy like McCain who comes on board, that makes it okay for a bunch of other people to come on board, which is a sad commentary. However, it's true. So with him coming on board, Ron Johnson also came on board earlier today, which he was a guy who was saying he was going to vote no, but he's done that the last few times. He says he's not going to vote no until the end and then changes. So that gets you to supposedly 49, and they're still waiting on 50, 51, or 52. But any one of those options means it passes. So they don't need to get all three of them, and they probably won't. But they also got Lisa Murkowski as a yes.
Which tells me this is just bad. When John McCain and Murkowski are on it, you're like, oh, geez, this is horrible.
Yeah, it's not a bold plan. I mean, I think there's some good things in it. We've talked about them a decent amount.
Yeah, no, it's not the plan. It's a very good Democrat plan.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, if the Democrats pass this, you'd be like, look, we got a Democratic president, we got a Democratic House, we got a Democratic Senate.
It's not bad.
It's got some good things in there, a lot of bad things, you know.
For a Republican controlled House, Senate, and White House, this is an abomination. But I'll take it. I'll take it.
It's an abomination, but you'll
but
take
I'll
it.
I'll take it.
It is, I think, better in some ways. You know, a lot of the scare tactics about it being worse, I think, aren't fair. We've talked about them a little bit here. Some of them are.
Because what they're saying is it's going to raise your taxes. Well, yeah, in 7 years, but nobody's going to, you think they're going to let you, you think on an election year, whoever is running is going to allow that to happen?
Yeah, that's the idea, right? They expire and then you'd have to say, okay.
And not expire on the upper end.
It's the middle class.
But on the middle class. Yeah. So they would have to be campaigning for, yep, I'm for that middle class tax hike.
It would expire on both. However, we should point out for the House plan, it doesn't expire at all. So they still have to hash out which part of this goes with which. You also have the Senate plan has the individual mandate repeal for Obamacare, where the House plan doesn't. There's a bunch of different things they're going to have to hammer out. So this is not the end of the road here, but they think they can get this over the finish line today to get it into conference, which is then you're going to have another finish line. And if they can get past that one, then you might actually get your tax cuts. And again, when I say your tax cuts, it's not going to be incredibly dramatic, but it is. There are some really good things. It's pretty dramatic on the business side. And that's a positive if you're one of those people who, you know, likes to have a job. So that's a positive thing.
Or if you believe that the businesses will reinvest it. I'm not sure in this climate, because you never know what is coming next.
It's true.
You know, so
it's true. But this is having more of your money is not going to hurt businesses. It's going to help them.
You're right. But will they invest it in building new factories and hiring new people? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we'll see.
And another big update just happened is Michael Flynn, who was, you know, obviously a big factor in supporting the president early on and was in his cabinet for about a day. He has been charged with willfully and knowingly making false statements to the FBI. The statements appear to be made, according to the court filing, around January 24th. So a few days after the inauguration. And the lies that he is accused of telling the FBI did surround Russia, meetings with Russia, and his promises to potentially get rid of regulations now that they were going to become president and he was going to have power. So that's coming out now. Again, you know, this does not mean anything about Donald Trump per se, which I think he's a big fish in this.
This is an interesting thing because, you know, they cut off his defense, cut off communication with the White House defense. And the speculation was he's going to do a plea deal and he's going to turn for the state. And for the FBI now to charge him, does that mean that this is a lesser crime that they're charging him with? Does this mean that he said, you know what? No, I'm not going to turn state's evidence.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
Is he being loyal to Trump and not
Is this the FBI putting screws to him and saying, this is just the first charge, dude? There's many more coming.
Yep. All of that could be true. And, you know, it's another big one, but, you know, there's nothing related to the campaign. There's nothing like the lies they're talking about are him talking about, you know, well, we should meet, we should talk about these, you know, sanctions and things like that. So, more to come.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program.
Okay. So last night, I'm on the internet, and I see a picture of a truck that I think to myself, that's the one I've been looking for. This is absolutely unbelievable. It's called the Duke. I wrote to my wife and said, honey, ultimate Christmas gift. Now,
yeah,
you know, this is for somebody who, you know, somebody who has, if you put money in Bitcoin when it was 30 cents, you might want to withdraw it. I have no idea what this thing is even worth. But it's an unbelievable truck. We put it up at glennbeck.com so you can see it, or you can go to rtechfabrications.com. But it's a 1970, let's see here. Oh, shoot, it doesn't say here. Hang on, I got the guy who made it right here. Randall Robertson. Randall.
Hey, good morning, Glenn. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. It's good to talk with you.
So you...
1972 Chevy K50, now that we've made it four-wheel drive.
And it, this has, because I have an old truck. I have like a, I have a 58, I think, and a 72, but they're just restored. And you can't drive those damn things. You just can't drive them. This is all new stuff in it. Huh?
Where will I park this and it not get banged up? Right?
Exactly right. And you can't drive it anywhere. It's too hard to drive. So this is a new, you put, tell me the specs on this thing.
Okay, well, to begin with, they didn't really actually make this truck. It's something that, you know, 2 a.m, about 3 years ago, I sat up in bed and, you know, go, oh, I think I need to make this truck.
Oh, it's so beautiful, man. It is so beautiful.
Most of the trucks that I design, they are designed at about 2 to 2:30 a.m.
Right, right.
Anyway, but, you know, so the specs on the truck, this particular truck is not our first crew cab, and they didn't make this particular, you know, from 67 to 72, they didn't make a crew cab, GM. So anyway, you know, so we started off, you know, I walked out to my shop and it's like, okay, I can't wait, you know, 6 months to get a cab built specifically for this build. So I went and took one off the shelf that wasn't even supposed to be a 50 series truck, you know, so started with one of our crew cabs and the way that I build my trucks, the way I design my trucks is if GM ever actually made this truck, this is the way I think it would look. And this is the way I think
right.
it would run. And this is
right.
what I think would have in it. So, the Duke has, it's on a C50 frame, which we've, and C means it's two-wheel drive and K means it's four-wheel drive. So, you know, we've made a four-wheel drive. It's essentially a 2.5-ton frame, but a 1-ton truck. So it's got the 1-ton running gears. And so the front, we've modified it so it doesn't look like a C50. It looks like a pickup truck. So we've shortened up the flares and, you know, took away things that made it look like a big truck and tried to just make it look like a...
Tell me about the engine.
5.9 12-valve Cummins, about 450 horsepower.
Oh, my gosh. You know, this thing's going to run. You know what this...
Get you to the store and back.
When I, when I saw this truck, I thought, that truck is made for the apocalypse. This is just the truck that will just keep running.
It's so funny, you know, because, you know, when we pull into, like, car shows and stuff, everybody stops and they turn and all I see are the backs of people's phones and these big eyes, please don't run over me. But, so
it's beautiful. So it took you 2 years to make it.
Yeah. 2.5 years. You know, some people's money tree grows a lot faster than mine does. And I have a lot of customers as well. So, right. you know, I knew it was a priority, but I do have to pay my bills.
So is this now, is this your personal, this is your car? Or are you selling it?
I built this specifically for me. So it's got a bunch of stuff that most people wouldn't even think to order. While at SEMA, you know, we had a couple people that made some offers that didn't quite get to my magic number.
What's your magic number?
Magic number is about $300,000.
It is an unbelievable truck. And with the way Bitcoin is going, somebody may buy it from you for $300,000. Unbelievable.
You know, I was just yesterday trying to figure out this whole Bitcoin thing. So, and I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
I don't personally believe that I would ever, you know, sign up for Bitcoin. Gold, yes. But I don't know. I don't trust can't have in my hand.
I will tell you, Randall, I'm the same way. I mean, I believe in gold. Did you listen to the show?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. So, you know how I feel on gold. You're
on a great deal of things.
It is. It is.
I've been listening to you for years.
Thank you.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It's foolish not to put some money in Bitcoin. Just fun money, money that you're like, we'll blow that on a weekend. Put it in there because sure. you never know. This thing could turn off overnight. It's fun while it lasts.
Yeah.
Randall. I'd love to come and see your shop because I was looking online. I'd love to see your shop and I'd love to see this thing in person. But
you know, I just think that'd be so fun between me being ADHD and you. Man, we could
design some trucks. Thanks, Randall. I appreciate it, man. God bless you.
All right, you take care.
You bet. Bye-bye. You'd find that at glenbeck.com or R-Tech Fabrications. It's called the Duke. It's sweet. It's a good thing to print up and just dream about.
I just like the guy who wakes up at 2 in the morning and that just becomes his job, right? Like he comes up with 2 in the morning, comes up with a crazy idea, and that's his gig for the next few years.
Don't you wish you could make something? Like, I wish
of
I
value?
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Right. I mean, I wish I could play the piano or I wish I could make something. You know, it's like why I like art, but it's like, what am I going to do? I got all these paintings that are sitting in my closet. What am I going to do with them? Don't you wish you could, I guess I should say, don't you wish you could make something that people wanted? And not even just to run up the price and be rich because you made it, just because you were making something and you're like, that is cool.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's like what everyone winds up thinking about doing at the when they retire, and then when they retire, they just decide instead to go to sleep and maybe, you know.
I learned my lesson on this, and I'm just at the point in my life right now where I'm really kind of deciding everything in my life. Because it's becoming more real to me. I recognize how fast 30 to 50 went. And then I look at 40 to 50 and I'm like, wow. And now I look, I'm 53. What? I was just 50 yesterday. And so you start, I don't know, you just start thinking of things differently. And the biggest tragedy, I think in my father's life, and the biggest lesson he taught me was, I grew up with him every day. He was like one stroke out of the pro tour when he was young. And he was really good, a really good golfer. And he worked all the time. And he said, someday I'm going to retire and I'm just going to play golf. By the time he could retire, he could no longer play golf. His body was in such bad shape, he could no longer play golf. So he was a golf warden. He drove the golf cart, you know, on the golf course and took a part-time job as a golf warden, which was nice. But I learned, don't wait. You may not be able to do that again. Between that and the fact that I was about 45 miles away from the Grand Canyon in my car, driving to move to Phoenix, Arizona, and I'm driving right by it, and I think I should stop and see the Grand Canyon. I thought, no, I'm going to live in Arizona. I mean, I'll see that. I have still not seen the Grand Canyon. Well, I haven't seen it from that side. And it's like, don't. If you see the big ball of string is, you know, 30 miles off this exit, you're never coming back to the big ball of string. Stop and see the big ball of string.
Glenn Beck.
Reading Police, California. Please pardon my voice. I'm sorry that it sounds this way. Reading Police say some people searching for a Christmas tree in eastern Shasta County in California found a partially clothed kidnapped victim forced to take shelter in a dead tree and drink from puddles to survive. One suspect was arrested. Another remains at large. Police are not identifying the woman for the time being, though they didn't say why. The victim told investigators that two acquaintances of hers, Johanna Knighton, 33, and Fred Sanderson, 44, both of Redding, California, kidnapped her from the Mistletoe Lane and Victor Avenue area Sunday, possibly because they believe she stole drugs from them. The victim told investigators a pair drove her about 6 miles from the highway in the van, assaulted her, and then took off all of her clothes except for a pair of shorts. She faced extremely cold temperatures. She survived the rain and the snow by staying in a hollowed out tree and drank from puddles before she was rescued. It's you know, I watched this documentary the other day from HBO on the meth problem in Arkansas. It's just a different world, you know. Watching these people who are just trapped in the, you know, they were making meth in labs, you know, kind of like stills out in the backwoods, and they were in small batches. The FBI comes in, busts them. Now nobody's making it, and the drug cartels are just dumping this stuff in this community, in this whole area, in not Alabama. Where was I just talking about? Arkansas.
I get those two states confused all the time. They were talking about Tom Cotton going to go to the CIA because Pompeo might go to Tillerson's slot and Secretary of State. And I'm like, wow, are they going to do a second senator from Alabama? I don't know if it's just the A. I know you guys are different states if you're in Alabama or Arkansas. I'm just an idiot. It's Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton. I know they're two different people. I know they're two different people, but I can't keep them separate.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So I'm watching this and I'm thinking, how do these people get out of this lifestyle? Because, you know, they were talking to the police and the police said, you know, we have arrested these people so long. We arrested them. Now we've arrested their children and in some cases their grandchildren. It's been going on. It's a way of life. And you should see these people. They're 30, 40 years old and they look like they're 100. And it's just tragic and sad. And I'm watching it like it's a different life. I mean, it's just a different world that we live in.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we've talked about this with the opioid thing. They've done these charts, and again, you know, you could see the pictures. Like, remember that picture that came out a while ago, where it was the couple in the front seat with a kid in the back seat, and they were both passed out in the front seat of the car, and the kid was in the back seat of the car seat, and like you could see a really dramatic picture like that, and it shows you how bad that stuff is. But when they show the charts of what the effects of the opioid crisis have been as it compares to like the crack crisis of the 80s. I mean, how many movies about the crack crisis of the 80s has been a huge thing? Like, I remember when that was going on. I was, you know, young, but I remember it going on, and it was like, it felt like all encompassing. It was like crime everywhere. It was like panicked. You didn't know when someone would, you know, it felt like watching the media, like someone that was smoking crack could come through your front door at any second, right? Like that was the...
But you know, it's interesting. Crack was associated with the inner cities and the big cities, mm-hmm. was it not?
Yeah, I would say yes.
I mean, that's what you think about it.
This is the opposite.
Meth is the opposite. It's not happening it's not happening like it is in rural America. It's
much more of a rural problem.
Yeah, I mean, it is devastating.
But the
rural
scale
America.
Of it is several times larger than the worst the crack epidemic ever got. And it is a serious, serious thing. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because it's in, you know, largely focused in places where there aren't giant media markets, right? I mean, like, you know, you're in rural, less populated areas, and there aren't giant television stations to be covering this all the time, but there's a lot of work to be done on that.
Yeah, that and the opioid crisis. Just a lot of work.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck.